Hi, I'm Dave Crane. Welcome to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. This week's episode is all about lying. Do people lie to you? Can you tell when they're lying? And would it be useful for you to be able to know when people are telling you the truths, half-truths, or trying to lead you down the garden path? We're going to reveal everything by talking to the experts. Hopefully they'll tell us the truth. On this episode, stick around. Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Not gonna talk.
Oh, it's okay. That's okay. I don't have much faith in words myself. All right, statistically speaking, average person tells 3 lies per 10 minutes of conversation. And granted, it's just regular people. We haven't studied and people who are planning to firebomb a black church. Could skew differently.
We don't have time for this scientist to talk to the guy. We went at him for 4 hours and got nothing.
Now, the FBI knows you want mass casualties. So right now, ATF is searching every inch of the 2 largest black churches in state. FBI got it wrong. Well, there's a shocker.
Not one of those 2 churches.
Maybe you want
one of the smaller churches. One of the black suburbs.
You know what you're talking about.
Don't respond.
What do you say ATF starts with Southbridge?
Nah, I'm only kidding. We're going to skip that one. We're going to focus on Lawton. You feel good about that?
That's it, Lawton. Going after a church in Lawton.
That accusation has no basis.
What do you mean? You just told me.
And Lie to Me is a great show, one of the best of the last couple of years, but it's actually based on the truth and real case studies of a guy called Professor Paul Ekman. Paul Ekman, his life, his examples are used to create the stories for every part of that show. Now, he has a team that goes out and trains people to be able to tell the truth. How cool would that be for you? Going into police stations, guys who work in customs, teachers, whoever works in HR when you're doing job interviews, you want to know if people are telling you the truth or not. All these different skills are very useful if you know how to do it properly, and he's got an 80 to 90% success rate. How could this change your life? We caught up with his team and chatted to Cliff Lansley, the managing director of the Emotional Intelligence Academy, and also the director of the Paul Ekman Institute, to find out, how do you tell the truth? How do you tell the lies? Do you really want to know that? Can you handle the truth? Find out on this show, Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Lie catchers come in various shapes and forms. There's a couple on the top, traditional ones, and there's a spoon and some rice there. If you heat a spoon, and then I start to put Lisa under pressure by saying, this is a fabulous conference, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can tell whether Lisa is lying, because if she's lying, all the moisture from her non-essential parts, which is your mouth, go to other parts of your body, and therefore your tongue will dry up. However, if you're telling the truth, the moisture will stay on your tongue. You don't need that, trust me. The moisture will stay on your tongue. And have you ever seen water in a frying pan? A hot frying pan. It sizzles, it'll create steam between the spoon and your tongue. It'll insulate your tongue and there'll be no blisters on your tongue. So let's try that question again. Are you enjoying this conference?
Absolutely.
That is a traditional, old-fashioned... They used to do that. And it does work. There's some science behind it. It's risky if you're wrong. So if you are dry, because all the moisture's gone into your blood system, because if you're frightened, your blood goes to your legs and it takes all the moisture with it, and your mouth just dries up. When you're stressed, scared, angry, your mouth will dry up.
So a lot of this is about micro-expressions, about little indicators that you've got it's almost like a little blip verse that we used to have on TV to sort of like indoctrinate into somebody, you know, buy my washing powder, and if you wouldn't notice it normally, but that's effectively what people are doing.
Bang on. It's almost subliminal to many people. Those who've been through the training can see it. Those who don't go through the training don't see it often. We're hardwired to pick it up. You know, when you get that feeling that there's something not right here. And sometimes that's triggered by a micro-expression, which we can't recognise or label. So it's sadness or happiness or anger or fear. There's about seven emotions where the signals are universal, whether you're from Papua New Guinea, from Japan, from Korea, from America, they show the same way on face. But that, what's interesting is after a trigger, something that sparks fear, maybe an explosion or something, all 2/5 of a second into that episode, you get this flash. But many of us don't want to show that. If you confront me in the street and I'm scared of you, and my initial reaction is fear, I don't want to show you that I'm fearful, because that might show weakness and you may attack me. So I may want to turn that fear into anger or into a polite smile to hopefully, you know, I'm no threat to you. And that's called a conscious display rule. So if I'm in the presence of my grandfather and I'm angry at my grandfather, especially in some Eastern cultures, I don't want to show, it's disrespectful to show him I'm angry with him. So if I'm angry, I might want to take off my face to a polite smile. And so the expression that's genuine is that first piece, but the expression I want to show you is the second piece. So we're interested in that first piece because that's what you're really thinking.
And 99% of people won't notice that there was a change, or if they do notice it, they won't take much notice afterwards because they're confronted with obviously what the person wants to show them.
I think whether they don't notice, I think many people will see it, that you will sense it. But many people won't be able to articulate that. What I saw there was a flash of eyebrows. They would just say, there's something, it seems sad. But they won't be able to put a finger on it often. Some people do this naturally, they see it straight away. There's some projects that Paul did with Maureen O'Sullivan, Paul Ekman, Dr. Paul Ekman with Maureen O'Sullivan many years ago. And they identified a small percentage of the population can see this naturally, they're called wizards. And they can spot lies and truth almost without errors. Well, we've got to train people for 4 days, so 32 hours, to get them even up to 80-90%. Because most people's ability rests around the middle, no better than chance, 54%, the statistics tell us from research. So we've got to drive that up. And it takes us 4 days to let people recognise it. But once you start to see them, the problem with this is you can't then turn it off, you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you've got to resist the ethics of, you know, I've got some information from you that you didn't mean for me to have.
Sure.
What do I do with that?
Because anybody who's saying something to you is firing off lots of different things in your mind about the truth and the untruths, and why are they saying that when it's quite obvious it's not what they really want to put across to you.
Yes.
That must be very difficult for you to deal with, especially in a practical sense of family, friends, who you care about, because we all have a combination of white lies because we care about each other, mixed with truths and mixed with all sorts of stuff.
You've nailed it. I have three young sons, they're growing up now. But when they're 16, 17, they were doing the kind of things I did and you did when you were 16 and 17. And sometimes there's a difficulty that if my 17-year-old says I'm going to see my friend, and we're going playing football, I'm watching some TV, can I be back at midnight? And you see some leakage, you suspect that really he's going to his girlfriend's, or he's going to a party drinking alcohol, or something else that he might not want me to know. And if you see that he's genuine, what he seems to be feeling is clashing with what he's saying, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Because if I start calling that, I'm going to lose this
relationship. Yeah, completely.
He's going to stay away from me. He's not going to look me in the face. So you can't turn the observation off, but you can turn what you do with it. So because you're stealing something that wasn't meant for you to have. And the ethics are, is it your job to go there? And if you're an interviewer and you're dealing with a suspect who's committed a crime, then it's your job to go there. If you're an investor and you're wresting some money with a company, you don't believe the business plan that they're telling you and convincing you is a good plan is that they believe in, it's important that you can see their lack of confidence. If you're taking a child from a home because there's an accusation of that child being abused in a home, that's a big decision to separate a family from its child. And that is so high stake, high risk, that if you do that and you make a mistake, the consequences may be difficult to live with. So those are the kind of people that are coming in for the training to help them make better decisions. So,
from from the point of view of somebody who's a complete layman coming into it and they're saying, right, I want to do my first lie detecting test on a colleague, or I've got an interview to do today and I'm not sure what they're going to be saying, what are the practical steps, without getting too techie, about how you can work out whether somebody's going to be telling you a lie, even just to indicate the hotspots? What should people be looking for?
The first thing is you must get a baseline. I'm trying to avoid the techie things here, but the baseline is it's what's normal. So if we're just sat here chatting and relaxing, I can work out that what you normally do when you're telling things which are truthful. So if I've got an hour to spend with an individual, I'll invest 10 minutes developing rapport, getting you comfortable, because I've got to get all your little clocks and ticks and your heart rate and everything down as low as possible. I need to get you comfortable with me. And that's why torture doesn't work, because that just creates the same signals as anything else. So it'll get you really comfortable. And then you move into a funneling process of getting the person talking about something that's significant. So if it's about a crime, or if it's about something you're purchasing, you get them into conversation. And then you've just got to totally tune in to the five channels of the body, the face, the skin tone, the voice, the style, the words they're choosing to use. And once you pull all those together, if you see any clashes between those, then if I say to you, I think your TV show is really great.
Yeah, but that shake of the head means that you don't like it that much.
That's it. And then, of course, I love it. I love your show.
Thank you very much. And on that bombshell, sorry, carry on.
So as a slight head shake, no, and many people are not aware of this. They may say, I really love this house, and it could be so slight, a couple of millimetres either way, that the body's actually saying, I don't. Or I could be unsure, and unsure is signalled in many cultures as being with the shoulders. So I really love this house, and it could come out from just one shoulder, or it could come from both. And we call that a gestural slip. So, and it's something we can't control, something we're not aware of, and therefore this is more reliable, this is often more reliable than the word yes or I like it, because I can very easily say those words, but I can't very easily control the leakage from things like the body and the tone of voice. It's very hard to control voice. If I'm sad, my voice will break up, and even a good actor, even Paul Ekman, will not be able to hide that distortion. Which brings us to another key point on what many people say is that this is a lie detecting course for 4 days. Is this not going to train people to be better liars? So that people with malintent can use this to get through border controls, to be aggressive, to steal. And therefore, do you need to filter people on these courses? And the answer is that we don't need to worry about that, because the science is so solid that even Paul Ekman, even the Dalai Lama, cannot interfere with the impulse which fires off your autonomic nervous system, which turns your cheeks red, which makes your lips come in, which flashes your brows, which changes your voice. All those are beyond control of most people.
So we can all be red?
Yes.
So there you are. That's how you learn whether people are lying to you or telling the truth. And if you want to know more about it, then you can go one of the wonderful training courses, as I have indeed attended, by contacting Dr. Layla Edwards and Phil Edwards at the Transformations Institute at this website, and get yourself booked in. Especially useful for relationships, for hiring staff, for sales, or even if you work in customs and finding people coming off a plane, what are they carrying? Are they telling you the truth? Now, the next episode is all about reality, even more than lies. I'll tell you this, if you've ever watched American Idol, X Factor, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Survivor, Ready, Steady, Cook, any of those reality TV shows, then you might be wondering what it would be like to be on it. And if you could get on it, how could you win? I'm going to share that with you in the next episode. I've done it. I've won. Seriously, take a look at this.
Who are you going to go for?
Number one.
From Cleveland. Come in, Dave.
Another bit of me you didn't know, but I will share everything with you. I'm going to spill all the beans about my experience and tell you exactly what you need to know to be able to win a reality TV show. How do you fancy being a millionaire? Or at least just being a bit more famous? Find out how. The ultimate branding tool. Turbocharge your brand TV.